Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Brady under center. Victory formation takes the snap. Balls to an E, and that'll do it. The New England Patriots have won. The Patriots, their second Super Bowl championship in the last 3 years. And they have tied an NFL record. Tied the Pittsburgh Steelers with six Super Bowl championships.
Can we be there?
Now we are here.
Still here.
Oh my goodness.
You know what?
Did you see the kiss?
I did.
That was like a peck.
No, Tom, that was not like a peck. Robbie Kraft. Bobby Kraft.
What was that?
Holy cow, what is going on in New England?
I think that's like the Freemason handshake in New England. The secret society they got going on in there.
Wow.
In all seriousness, I saw that after the game, that Brady planted one on Robert Kraft.
Yeah, odd. Really odd. Game was really underwhelming for me. You got to give Bill Belichick and their defensive coaches a lot of credit, I think, for New England. And offensively, I give them a lot of credit also for how they've kind of evolved throughout the course of the year in their offense, and how they've adjusted to their personnel, and how they game plan the Rams. How did they game plan the Rams? They said, we're going to run the football, we're going to wear you out and tire you down, and then we're going to keep it close, and we're going to win in the end. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to let Tom Brady drop back 50 times and throw the football all over the field and get crushed. Okay, that's not our game plan. And when we do decide to throw it, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do play-action passes. But we're going to already set those play-action passes up with what? A running game. And we're going to commit to it. Right? Smart coaching. On the other hand, the Rams. What did they not do? Wade Phillips, big credit. Great job, Rams defense, right? Wade Phillips goes out there again and has a great game plan for Tom Brady. But Sean McVay and that offense, they were in over their heads.
You're not kidding.
Boy wonder, huh? Mr. Genius, what'd I tell you? Not so fast. That was an awful game plan, awful execution. Jared Goff, way in over his head. Moment was way too big for him. How do you not run the football? That's how you set up your offense. Your offense revolves around your running game, and you never committed to it.
10 carries for Todd Gurley.
You never committed to it. And so you did a disservice to Jared Goff in that sense. You had a chance to try to establish that running game and commit to Jared and commit to Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson. And I know it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect for the Patriots either, but they stuck with it. And when you run that style of an offense like they run, it revolves around the running game. Do you remember what Sean McVay said when they left Denver after the Broncos game? He apologized for how he operated at the end of that football game.
That's right. He was too aggressive, right?
Yeah. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I do. He almost cost them the football game
right here. And he let Denver back in the game.
He did.
And gave him a chance.
He did.
Because all of a sudden, he couldn't control his urges to not throw the football. And guess what they were doing to the Broncos up and down the football field? Gashing them with the run. But he couldn't help himself. Just like in that stage, in that moment, it was too big for him. He couldn't help himself. Run the football. That's what your offense revolves around. And I keep pulling my hair. I'm like, okay, they're going to run it. Nope, play action pass. They're going to run it, play action pass. Like, what are you doing? And it made me think about the Broncos game here. When after the game, he said, I messed that up. I got way too aggressive there at the end. Should have ran the football. They are a running football team first. You saw them against the Cowboys? What did they do? They gashed them with the run.
They did.
Jared Goff, we've seen him at the end of the year. He cannot handle being a drop-back passer with it on everything on his shoulders. And their offensive line didn't block well at all. They were awful.
What happened there?
Well, when you're not running the football, they don't respect the run. They're pinning their ears back.
Yep.
They don't respect the run, and they're going to get after the quarterback. So
they were getting pushed back.
Oh, my goodness.
It looked like 2 and 3 full yards.
Yeah. Guys weren't blocking guys. I mean, they were just discombobulated. But it starts with running the football, slowing down that pass rush and wearing them out a little bit. Make them respect that run. But they knew they never would consistently run it. One run here, and then pass.
You mentioned that game against the Cowboys. It was the NFC divisional game where the Rams scored 30 on Dallas. You know how many times they ran the football that game? Just a wild guess.
28.
48.
See?
You know how many times they ran it against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl? Give me a guess. You don't have the number in front of you.
20.
18. Todd Gurley, I went and looked up the numbers this morning because I was thinking along the same lines you were with this topic. Todd Gurley gets 10 touches in the run game. He played 14 games this year. Okay? You can count, I believe it was 10 of the 14 games this year where he has doubled that total. I mean, you're talking Todd Gurley's touches on a game-to-game basis. I'm looking at it right now. 20, 19, 23, 22, 28, 25, 23, 16, 15. I mean, for him to have 10 touches in the Super Bowl, and he said he was fine. And in that game against Dallas, he ran for 115 yards. Now, I don't know what happened between then and now. Maybe we'll find out later today he's got a partially torn meniscus or something like that. But he said before the game he was healthy. And on a couple of those runs that we saw, he looked fine.
Yeah. He had a big gainer, which, you know, a phantom holding call that really cost them.
That was a big one.
In a tied football game, they were going to be around the 30-40 yard line going in.
Yep.
And I was just like, okay, that's what they needed to get going. Continue to do those things. Continue to hand the football off. Take some pressure off of your young quarterback. And for whatever reason, they didn't do it. And in the end, and you said 18 times they ran the football?
Total, as a team.
And you're talking about a one-score game the whole game.
Correct.
A one score. So it wasn't like they were losing 20-3 and they had to throw the football. That wasn't the case.
Never.
So it doesn't make sense. The moment was too big for Sean McVay. That was obvious. Okay? It was. The way he called that game was awful. I mean, there's no other way to spin it. There's no other way to put it. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. He did a bad job calling that football game, and he put Jared Goff, his young quarterback, who, if you've watched him at the end of the season, you saw him play against Chicago. You saw him play against Philly. He looked like a fish out of water in those games. Well, what happened? You're trying to make him a throwing quarterback first. He's got to rely on that running game as a staple. And so you didn't learn from watching those games, and you're the head coach. You know, you're supposed to be the smartest guy in the room. And I don't want to bash Sean McVay over and over again, but that was a bad job last night.
What do you think his game, like, how did Sean McVay envision being successful last night?
I think he envisioned it by passing the football first and using play action early and often. But I think he should have realized right away that that wasn't the key and that wasn't the recipe to winning that football game. And the thing that really, when you look at it, you say, like, you had time to make adjustments.
Sure.
And it was a one-score game. It was a tie game for a long time. So you had time to make adjustments and still be able to, okay, look, I really screwed this first half up. But guess what? It's only 3-0. That's it. So let's get back to our basics. Let's get back to establishing the run. That first game plan that we had that we thought was going to be good, no, no. The pass-first game plan, not good. It needs to be a run-first game plan in the second half, and they weren't doing it. They didn't make good halftime adjustments, and that's why they lost the football game. And if you're a defensive guy on that football team, Aqib Talib and Wade Phillips, you got to be really, really upset today with the way your offense operated yesterday.
What exactly did New England do to win their sixth Super Bowl? And maybe we can apply one of the lessons learned yesterday to the Broncos in 2019. We'll get there next. So it's such a simple question. It's such a simple, simple question. But I'm not even sure how to answer it as simply as the question would suggest. How did the Patriots get out of that game with a win? How do they continue to do this when, from a talent standpoint, I think if you asked most NFL minds from a talent standpoint that they were subservient to the Rams. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, to a certain degree.
I'm not saying it's varsity JV.
Right.
But,
I mean,
you know, when I say, okay, who's the fifth best player that for the New England Patriots? You get there and you go, oh, okay, he's a good player. But when you talk about the Rams and we talk about Todd Gurley, we talk about Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, Brockers, all those first-round guys that they have. We talk about the guys in the secondary, the receivers. It just doesn't – and then here we are again, and it's a sixth Super Bowl.
It's you give a lot of credit to the coaching staff, to Bill Belichick, and knowing where your weaknesses are, knowing where your strengths are, and be able to change, adjust, evolve, and try to stay ahead of the curve. And that's what they do, and that's what they did. You know, they went in that game plan, and you could tell early on, they said, we're going to run the football. We're going to let these guys know up front that they're not just going to pin their ears back and get after Tom Brady. And we're going to try to double Aaron Donald every chance we get. We're going to run the ball. And then once they think that we're going to continue to run the football, now we'll start using our play-action game. And we're going to get the football to our guys that are playmakers. Who was it yesterday? It was Julian Edelman. And it could have been James White. You know, we've seen him have 10, 12 catch games.
Sure,
so
sure.
They will find their matchups that they like, and then they'll keep going to that guy every time. And then the next week it might be somebody totally different. So it's hard to really game plan and shut them down completely. So I think you look at their coaching staff and what they do and how they try to – they change constantly. From game to game, you really can't like pin them down on what is their offensive system. What's the Patriots? Nobody knows.
And that's what I'm saying. Like when you try to press the topic for specifics, it's hard for me to try to put New England like under one umbrella of a thing where like this is what they do. This is their calling card.
Right. You can't. And it's hard for teams to be able to change mid-season or week to week like the Patriots do and have consistency and play at a high level. They're able to do that. They get the right guys. They know what type of guys they're looking for, right, for their systems. And they do a great job of coaching them up. I think the biggest thing that they don't beat themselves.
Sure.
Right? They don't beat themselves.
That's a good one.
And they're going to make you earn everything. So you don't see dumb penalties. You don't see foolish things from them. Right? When was the last time you seen a unsportsmanlike call on the Patriots? It just doesn't happen.
Pass
interferences are very rare. They do a good job of, I don't know, they just do a good job of not making those types of penalties. And they're usually in the right positions to be successful. So they're smart football players. They're well coached. And they don't beat themselves. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it?
It does.
To a certain degree.
It does. But, like, if I told you before the game, like, if you were walking up to a Vegas window to play the game, and I said, hey, I just saw into the future, Tom Brady's not even going to throw for 270 yards. Oh, and by the way, he's not going to throw a touchdown. How many games has Tom Brady played? Let's just keep it to this season where he hasn't thrown a touchdown. I went back and looked just two. Just twice. And for him to not throw a touchdown, him to not have a big yardage game, for Sony Michel for the Patriots not to have a 100-yard rusher. If I told you all that on the way up to the window, you'd be like, ooh, I need to turn around.
Right.
Reconsider. And there they were. The score actually for me, and you can put me in check from your standpoint if you disagree, but the score actually wasn't indicative of how in control the Patriots seemed for most of the game.
Oh, yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, at least they were moving the football a little bit. You know, they missed the one field goal. They had to settle for another field goal. They had the interception, right? So the Rams weren't doing anything with the football. But there they were at halftime, 3-0. And I was saying right before half, don't screw this up, Sean McVay, like Andy Reid did. don't screw this up, right? Because the Patriots got you right where they want you, and they had the sack, and you're hurrying up, and next thing you know, you're going to give them great field position. It's going to be 10-0. Just like 2 weeks before against Kansas City, it was 7-0, and you tried to call a timeout on New England, and it ended up 30 seconds later biting you in the butt by them scoring another touchdown. But you were right there. It's 3-0 at halftime. You were getting the football. But you never adjusted. You never made it. What was your adjustments coaching-wise offensively? I didn't see anything. They continue to come out and try to run play action pass, and when they didn't even establish a run. I don't get it. But the Patriots, look, they're consistent. They don't beat themselves. They're going to try to take away your strengths and make you beat them with something else. And they do a good job of it. They got smart football players. Everybody knows their role, and they're well coached. You know, and it is to a certain degree. You know, I don't like them, but it's nice to see that style of football can win. When you just do things the right way and you're unselfish, that's what they are. It contradicts, you know, the world that we live in now. It's the I, look at me world. They do things so different. Nope, it's about the team. I'm not, you know, you don't see these guys dancing in the end zone and doing all this stuff, which I have no problem with. You don't see them getting personal fouls. You see them celebrating with their team. They're all about, you know, doing whatever it takes to win. And you just don't see that in sports these days anymore. So it is nice to see that they're still able to win and be successful doing it the way that they do it.
I just can't believe...
Gosh, I can't believe I said that.
Tell
me. Wash my mouth out.
Gosh. I just can't believe that we're sitting here the day after the Super Bowl and the Rams, who averaged 33 points a game throughout a whole season, mustered a single field goal. A single field goal. And to your point, if I asked you, who are the five best Patriots defenders? Does the average fan know five Patriot defenders?
No.
But there they were. And you bring up a really interesting point there. We were all under an impression that the league was headed in a certain direction, and the Broncos needed to catch up to that. Pump the brakes. And I got my eyes opened up last night, and I want to talk about it next. We're all under the impression that the league was headed in a certain direction. It was this the new age, and I'll get right in the front of the line, and I'm going to take a big L right now, right on the forehead.
All right? Throw it up there.
Right.
Dance.
But take that L on the way out.
Thank you, Coach. After the Monday Night Football game that will go down in history as maybe the most entertaining football game of all time, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Los Angeles Rams, 54-51.
Remember the buzz after that game?
Oh, it was insane. It was the dawning of a new day. And I remember I hopped on my Twitter account. And I tweeted, I'm always going to love old school. It was something along these lines. I'm always going to love old school football, but I think I'm all right with the new NFL. And the day after the Super Bowl, I reflect on that take, and it has already expired. I was wrong about that. And last night is a great example. And really, these NFL playoffs in general, we didn't see a game like this.
Oh, no.
It just reminded me. It is the fireworks and the magician schemes and the movement and the misdirection and the over-the-top emphasis on offensive football has been grossly over-exaggerated. And if you got a group of really good football players and you got a group of really good coaches, they can slow it down to a snail's pace, and you can win a Super Bowl.
Yep. And even in that game, though, there were some defensive scores in that game.
There was.
There were some big plays defensively. I know there was at least two touchdowns on the defensive side of the football, and there was some maybe another turnover.
There was a fumble return for a touchdown.
Right, and there was maybe another turnover that led to a touchdown. So there was some defense being played a little bit. Anyway, that caused
there was.
That made some plays there for those teams. Look, I think the NFL is, the way that it is designed now is skewed to the offense. It's geared to score points. Fireworks. People want to see offensive football. People want to see big, a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards being thrown. And so that's where this thing is set up for. The rules are in place to help the offense and to hurt the defense. So that makes it harder for the defense to play at a high level consistently. But if you have the right players, like you said, and the right scheme, there's still a place to play great defense and to go out there and play at a high level and carry a football team. But guess what else happened? The rules changed again for playoff football. The rules changed again for playoff football, Zach.
While you were talking right now, while you and I are very forgetful people, both of us. While you were talking, we often write down notes because I say, oh, I don't want to miss that thought. I wrote down regular season / postseason to get to that point right there.
Yep.
Because there is not a sport in American professional sports that is more dissimilar between their regular season and their postseason.
It was really, really obvious and evident this year. Last year to a certain degree, but this year more so, which I like. Let them play. And you know that was a huge point of emphasis, like, from the NFL. This is where we have the most eyes on our game. We don't want y'all throwing flags for every ticky-tack thing. And so it's hard for some guys to be able to adjust to that, and referees included. And you'll see some plays that you say, you know, what was it, the Brady grazing of the helmet or whatever, mm-hmm, where it's called. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing here, guys? Are we going to make it an obvious call before we call it now? Or are we going to go back and revert back to regular season football calls? So you look at how they started calling games in the playoffs, and it was obvious that it came down from up top that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to let these guys play football. We're going to put a point of emphasis during the season, and I want you to be very, very critical on how you call games and be very, if you see anything, throw the flag. But in playoff football, we're going to call it differently.
There was one play that bothered me a little bit in that regard, and it was early in the football game. And it was what I believe, and I may have the personnel wrong here, but Rex Burkhead got blasted on the Patriots' second possession of the game when they called it unnecessary roughness, defenseless player.
Right.
I believe in my gut, had the instance in the NFC championship game with the Saints not have gone down the way it did, I don't think that flag comes out.
Yeah, I agree. And they're always, like I said, they're always, a few times they're going to revert to what they've been doing for 17 weeks in the regular season, right? I mean, they were told to call it one way.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you get in the playoffs and you're instructed, which I would think, you're instructed to call it a different way.
Felt like that.
Like, let these guys play a little bit more. We don't want on our biggest stage to be a flag fest. And I'm A-okay with that. I'd much prefer to see it that way than see these refs throw flags left and right.
Man, I do, and do you agree with that? What I said initially, that the comparing the regular season to the postseason within a same sport, it's the most drastic contrast among hockey, baseball, basketball for the way that the officials call the game.
Yeah, I mean, here the last couple of years, that's certainly been the case and the situation. But you go back to your original point about how defense and offense, and you look at the offensive fireworks that were throughout the course of the season, all of a sudden you get to the end of the year. Well, what happens? In a lot of cases, guys get worn down a little bit offensively, right? You've been running nonstop for a long time. Okay. And now you have some injuries offensively, whatever the case may be. And you go out there and you're just not the same for whatever. I don't know why all of a sudden you saw all these fireworks and then you look at the Rams late in the season in some of their games and they just weren't the same. You know, they played the Bears and the Eagles back-to-back games. They scored 6 points against the Bears and they scored, you know, 23 against the Eagles. And most of those 23 were late in the game. I mean, they were dominated that game. They didn't look like the same football team.
I thought they were figuring it out again, though. I really did, because playoffs started, they hang 30 on Dallas. They followed up with 26 against the Saints, comeback win, and that, like,
they got out coached.
Well,
that was that. I mean, you know, that you look at it, they got out coached. They got out schemed.
And he said that after the game, McVay.
He did. I didn't listen.
He said, I got out coached. And look, it's just sort of, you know, saying, you know, breaking the news to me that the sky is blue. You know what I mean? It was so obvious.
Right.
That this was, he was in over his head.
Yeah.
He was in over his head.
Momo was too big for him. And you didn't see any adjustments from him when it comes to doing something different in the second half. And for me, it was just 3-0. That was it. It wasn't 20-0. You realized early on that their pass rush was getting after you, that Jared Goff wasn't going to be able to win the football game by himself, that you needed to go back to your roots. Go back to your hometown. Go back to your roots. Your roots are running the football. Todd Gurley, C.J. Anderson, they carried you against the Dallas Cowboys. Go back to doing that in the second half, and they really didn't do that.
I got a great RamosLaw.com text here, 303-713-1043. If you guys want to chime in, share a thought about the game last night, whatever it may be, and whether it's correlated to the Broncos or not. This is a good one from Wes. He says, let's not forget, the Patriots lost Matt Patricia, their great defensive coordinator. Who would have thought that a season after Patricia leaves, the Patriots would win another Super Bowl by shutting down one of the league's best offenses? And that is a great point, that you had this hot candidate defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Lions, and now it's Brian Flores, right? Is there any coach going into the offseason with more momentum than Brian Flores?
And it had me thinking about...
Great point, Wes.
Nice job. Nice work, Wes. Had me thinking about when Vance Joseph came to Denver. Remember the game that he came to Denver from?
When Vance Joseph came to Denver?
Yeah, when he came to Denver. He was in the playoffs with Miami. They had just played Pittsburgh, and his defense just got shattered. They looked awful.
Yep.
And everybody was like, oh, we're getting this guy?
Right.
And I have the same thought about that guy up there.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah. All of a sudden, this new upcoming, you know, oh, we got to get Sean McVay, you know, because he's a genius. We got to get anybody that's ever been attached to him. And you hire that guy as your head football coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, and you're kind of like, that's not the right way to come to town.
You just stole a segment thought of mine.
Oh.
Because I saw him up there. No, I'm glad you did, because it's appropriate. I saw him up there, and I'm saying, you want to know what? I feel a whole heck of a lot better that the Broncos just hired a tried and true football coach.
Yeah.
They didn't go with the hot name.
Right.
Now, we can separate Rich Scangarello from this conversation, because you could argue that they are going down that direction.
But he's not our head coach.
He's not our head coach. But he is in charge of one side of the football.
Sure.
But with Vic Fangio, I am satisfied that John Elway said, you want to know what? You guys can have Zach Taylor. I'm going to hire this guy who's been in this league for decades. I know for sure what he's going to bring to the table, a certain level of expertise and less hope and wishing, right? And just more founded substance of information that would lead you to the point to believe that, you know what, this guy can lead our football team.
There's still a place in the NFL for a head football coach. You don't have to go find the next genius offensive coordinator and make him your head coach. You can have a head football coach, a guy that's good at being a head coach.
An executive.
Yes, a CEO. There's still a place for that. And guess what? There's still, like you said earlier, there's still a place for good defense to win championships. And that was very, very evident and obvious. And I like what you said earlier. It's about finding good football players. Find good football players. And if you do that, and football players that fit your scheme. But the other thing that the Patriots have going for them, obviously you got Tom Brady, and he knows how to win football games. He's done it. The moment's not going to be too big for him. Same thing with Bill Belichick. But you have consistency there when it comes to head coach. Their head coach, consistency. And even offensively. for Tom Brady. I mean, he's had, you know, Josh McDaniels there forever.
Yeah.
And he left for a little bit. He came back. I mean, so that certainly helps. The consistency and continuity. Now, you look at the things that they're doing. Would you be able to do that with a young quarterback? No. Would you be able to do that with a coordinator and a quarterback that aren't on the same page and that haven't been together forever? No. So they have that working in their favor, and guess what they do? They take advantage of it.
And while every, it seems like every facet of the Patriots, within a 3-year window, it all shifts like the sands at a high tide. Like, outside of those guys, who you just said, McDaniels, Brady, Belichick, you look back at these Super Bowl teams, and they're a lot of different characters. Now, I know Gronk's been there for a nice stretch, but he wasn't even there for their, what, first 3 or 4 Super Bowls? I think he's been there for the last 2 or 3, whatever the case.
I think he's been there for half.
Okay.
3.
So all these different moving parts change. The faces and the names, they come and go. But at the three, arguably, the three most important pivotal positions of that program, the head coach, the quarterback, and the offensive coordinator, and really Bill's the defensive coordinator, right, for all rights and purposes, or all intents and purposes as well.
He'll oversee the defensive side. I think he gives those guys a lot of flexibility and a lot of leeway when it comes to, you know, putting their stamp on things,
sure,
right?
But there's no power struggle there.
Right, right. But if he needs to step in, he'll step in.
Right. That's Bill's defense.
Right. He's going to help them game plan and help them go through the process. And I'm sure once he feels really comfortable with it, he'll back off and let them kind of do it sometimes by themselves and see if they're ready. But certainly you have Bill overseeing the defensive side of the football. Yes.
So you have a defensive overseer, the head coach, the quarterback, and the OC have been the same forever. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's such a big part of why we're here. I mean, we are here again. And we joke around about the, you know, we're still here. But here we freaking are. It's Monday after the Super Bowl, and the Patriots are going to have a parade tomorrow. In a game where Tom Brady didn't throw a touchdown, didn't throw for 270 yards, and threw a pick. And it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
They know how to figure things out and get it done. They know their strengths, they know their weaknesses, and they know that, you know, Bill does a great job with making it all about the team. And if it's not about the team for you, guess what? He doesn't care who you are.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're always evolving. They're always, you know, staying ahead of things. They're not going to keep doing things just to keep doing things. They're going to change it up and move on. And they do a really good job at it. And so there's a place for that in today's NFL. You can win football games that way. You can win football games different ways. You don't have to spread it out and, you know, do all these crazy things. You can.
But what happened to that? That's a good point. What happened to all the characteristics of this Rams offense that we got accustomed to for the last 2 years? I didn't see any of it. This spread them out, the moving around. You got guys in motion, waving wands and being magicians. I didn't see any of it.
I didn't either. I think it's for them. It starts with the running game. They didn't run the ball. They didn't stick with the running game. And that's where it all goes off of. And I broke down some a play last week, filled in for Stink. He was out on vacation or something, partying down in the ATL. So I had to fill in for him.
I bet you got a kick out of doing that, though, didn't you?
Well, he might get Wally pipped. You just never know. You just never know.
I knew, because Johnny went and asked you to do it, and you were like, well, you know, can you pick the play and just, you know, you don't want to overextend yourself because you hadn't done this before.
Right.
But I said to myself, I said, once you actually start doing it, you're really going to like doing it.
I did have fun doing it.
Because you're a football guy and you like teaching.
Right. I did have fun doing it, but yeah, and I did tell Johnny that. I'm like, okay, well, come up with the 2 or 3 plays. I'm not going to sit there and watch a whole game and figure out a play for you. No.
Right.
You come up, give
me. I'm not going to, like, do work for this.
Give me 3 or 4 plays, right, and I'll tell you which play I want to do, and I'll break it down, okay? So I'll be able to handle that side of it. And we were a great team, and it felt great. But the play that I broke down, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on our website. But it was I loved what you saw. There were so many different moving parts of it.
From the Rams.
From the Rams, offensively, yes. And all it was a simple reverse, but how they got to it, it was very creative and it was executed at a high level. You saw none of that yesterday. None of it. You know, they tried to do some jet sweep stuff, some fake of it, and it also, to their defense, it's hard to do a lot of those things when you're not making first downs, when your opportunities are limited. And I think the coach panicked a little bit. And you didn't stick with the running game. I mean, that to me is the number one thing. When you look at the Rams, what cost them that football game was their inability to stick with the run game. And them putting too much on Jared Goff's plate. And in turn, it put a lot on this offensive line, who, by all indications, they were one of the best in the NFL.
The Rams.
The Rams offensive line.
They were being called the best. You actually can't make this up, because the week before the Super Bowl, Pro Football Talk puts out this piece that, do the Rams have the best run-blocking offensive line ever?
Wow.
Did you happen to run across that? Because I know that's a website you check out.
I did not.
Okay, so they put out this thing. They had these metrics that were spinning the idea that this could be the best blocking offensive line in the history of the sport. I don't need the analytics. I'll help everyone out. It ain't it.
Well, they didn't really run the ball a lot.
18 attempts.
So for me, you did them a disservice, because now all of a sudden, not only did you do Jared Goff a disservice, but you did the offensive line a disservice, because now what is the defense doing? They're pinning their ears back. We're rushing the passer. We don't respect this running game anyway. And so your offensive line's at a disservice also. So it really, when you look at the lack of running the football and sticking with the run, how it cost the Rams, it cost them in a big way. Their quarterback wasn't ready, and their offensive line isn't as good as what we thought they were, especially when it comes to pass blocking. Well, that's because you didn't run the football, and you didn't try to establish the run. And you got one of the best, and then you got another guy who has been looking like one of the best, C.J. Anderson.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been a great 1-2 punch, but you didn't use it. You didn't use them.
I have a stat that is going to blow your mind. To you, Stoke. To you, Steven. Jeff Brantley's back there behind the glass. This is going to blow your mind, too. You're driving around in the car. This is going to blow your mind, too. You're at work. Prepared. Get prepared. Your brains are about to go everywhere.
Oh, wow. Wow.
The Rams ran 60 plays. 27 of the 60 plays went for 0 or negative yards. They ran 60 plays and 27 went for 0 or negative yards.
That's almost half. Almost half.
That is unbelievable.
And that's why you suck.
There you go. And
wow.
The Patriots defense, it's not like they're a historically great defense. I mean, they just came and hit you in the mouth, though. So their game plan was great. They executed at a high level. And, you know, you shared in some of that blame, too, offensively, Sean McVay, and how you called the game. And it was a perfect storm. But that's just unfathomable.
It is.
That an offense like, quote-unquote, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest ever, and with one of the greatest ever, quote-unquote, offensive mind, genius, boy wonder, and, you know, he's remembered everything since, like, the minute he was born.
Yeah. Well, he said after the game, I got to watch the tape. I'm like, why do you need to watch tape?
Oh, yeah.
Can't you just replay the tape in your mind?
Yeah, exactly.
Right now?
You remember everything. Oh, you already forgot that game, huh?
Oh,
and to be able to do it against that group, I mean, it was impressive. Look, you give those guys a lot of credit for how they performed and how they were coached up. They were ready to play, and
I mean,
they went out there and got it done.
If I said to you, who are the five best defenders? And ask yourself rhetorically right now, right? You're an NFL fan. You're listening to this program. If I asked you right now, who are the five best defenders that the New England Patriots have?
Okay, I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Stephon Gilmore.
He played phenomenal. He's just had a great year.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Such a good year.
Patrick Chung would be on that list.
Yep.
Just a really good do-everything safety.
And he got knocked out of the game.
Right. I mean, that was...
Looked like he broke his arm. He got squished in between.
Yeah, it looked like he shattered his arm.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing got stuck in between a helmet, and that thing just like... Yeah. I mean, just the whole thing just looked like it...
Noodle.
Yeah. Patrick Chung. And then you have to go with, like, Rob Ninkovich. Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, Samuels, Teddy Bruschi. You didn't catch on when I said Ninkovich. You just kind of kept going.
I did. I'm looking through the box for like, hey, Ninkovich back?
He came back, baby. What? Van Noy.
Yep.
Okay, Van Noy. He played really well.
The McCourty twins.
Yeah, and I was going to say one of the McCourtys. I don't know if it's Devin or his brother, pretty good. They don't even know. And then Dante Hightower. That would be the five, but it's like, I mean, who's great in that group? And you would say Gilmore is great. And Hightower is also. But other than that, the other guys are just good players.
Right.
That's it.
Like which one of those guys is going to be on an all-pro team? When we talk about the Rams, we talk about Akeem, we talk about Aaron Donald, LaMarcus Joyner, Michael Brockers, Marcus Peters, Corey Littleton.
Sue.
Right, Donald. I forgot
the best
two
player in the
team
league.
All pros. And there the Patriots were dominating. Incredible. And really quick, shout out to Scott. He's putting me in check here. Because I said it's unbelievable. We're sitting here, sixth Super Bowl on a Monday. He said it's actually the opposite of unbelievable. How much evidence do you need to actually be a believer?
Right.
But we've never seen anything like this before, which made me arrive to that statement. We've never seen anything like this. Crazy. Here's a follow-up.
But the thing is, like, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and I was talking about, you know, so go check out my breakdown of the Rams and that play that they designed. I mean, it was really...
1043thefan.com.
There you go. But, you know, it gets me thinking, like, how happy is Miami Dolphins right now? They're getting Brian Flores as their coach.
Mm.
You know, and how, like, reserved now are the Bengals? Like, oh, this guy's coming off that game?
Buyer's remorse? Not saying, just saying.
Right. I mean, because we were in that situation here with Vance, coming off of that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where everybody like, oh, wow, that's our head coach. That defense didn't look very good.
That played out, didn't it? Did the NFC Championship referees not only rob the Saints, but the rest of us NFL fans? That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.